CBS News. I'm Hartley Carnes. President Obama signs the Jobs Act. It's actually called the Jumpstart Our Business Startups Act, designed to help small businesses grow and thereby create some jobs.
For business owners who want to take their companies to the next level, this bill will make it easier for you to go public. And that's a big deal, because going public is a major step towards expanding and hiring more workers.
The bill was proposed by Republicans and passed with support from both sides of the aisle. Non-farm private sector jobs in March slowed down from February from 227,000 to a little over 200,000, but it's still growth compared to last year. Jennifer Grass at CareerBuilder.
One-third of employers, 33%, added full-time permanent employees in the first quarter of this year. That's on par with what we saw in 2007, and it's the highest increase we've seen reported since the recession began.
The caution that comes with it is the expectation that job creation may slow down in coming months. The government's March unemployment numbers come out tomorrow morning. On Wall Street, the Dow is down about 27 points, Nasdaq's up 10. A reply of explanation as demanded by a federal court judge after the president's controversial comments about the Supreme Court's consideration of his health care overhaul.
Attorney General Eric Holder has written to the Federal Appeals Court in Houston as requested by Judge Jerry Smith, who asked for reassurances that the administration recognizes judicial authority.
Statements by the president.
The judge said he was troubled by President Obama expressing confidence the Supreme Court won't overturn the health reform law.
What would be an unprecedented, extraordinary step.
Attorney General Holder now writes that there's no change. The courts have the authority to review laws, but he adds that the executive branch has often urged courts to respect the judgments made by Congress. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
Syrian rebels report government attacks have gotten worse in recent days. No movement toward peace. U.S. Ambassador Susan Rice says the rebels are telling truth.
What we know, as opposed to what the government of Syria has said, is that yesterday, in fact, as in previous days, the violence has intensified.
U.N. envoy Kofi Annan has assured the U.N. Secretary General today his peace plan is not functioning to merely give cover to Assad's efforts to crush the rebellion. There's a video documentary that purports to catch former New Orleans Saints defensive coordinator Greg Williams telling players where to hit an opposing receiver, then rubbing his fingers together, indicating the money they'd get. This is Coach Sean Payton meets with the NFL commissioner to plead his case for a shorter suspension. If you've been to very many rock concerts, you have stood in front of a Marshall amp. Jim Marshall, the man behind the amplifier that wears his name and helped reduce the auditory function of Pete Townsend's ears and to entertain the millions of people. Jim Marshall died today. He was 88. This is CBS News.
Wearing glasses with Crizal lenses can make a big difference in your vision, because neither rain nor snow nor dust and dirt, nor smudges, or even the toughest scratches, nor the glare of oncoming traffic can keep your lenses from giving you the clearest vision possible. Crizal lenses. Live life in the clear. That's C-R-I-Z-A-L. Crizal. Ask for them at your eye care professional.
At Advance Auto Parts, we don't do anything just part way. We go full throttle. We won't just sell you some oil. Oh, no. We'll sell you a 5-plus quarts jug of Castrol GTX conventional motor oil and a DriveWorks filter for just $19.99. Plus, you walk out of Advance with a free John Force racing hat valued at $20. A free $20 hat? You're only paying $19.99 for oil. What gives? Actually, Advance does.
Advance Auto Parts.
See store for details.
Since the Trayvon Martin shooting in Sanford, Florida, the impact on local businesses has been mixed.
I'm Peter King in Sanford.
You and we won?
Yep. 2 weeks ago, you could have rolled a bowling ball through Theo Hollerback's restaurant without hitting anyone.
When the demonstrations and rallies were happening in town, our guests got somewhat apprehensive.
Hollerback says he cut back on employee working hours and lost thousands of dollars. But after a Facebook posting and local news coverage, he's coming off his best week ever.
I'm overwhelmed at the outpouring of support.
Other merchants hope his luck rubs off on them.
A lot of us are in danger of closing our doors if it keeps continuing.
Carrie Bailey owns a furniture store across the street.
If we have another month and a half like this, we're gone.
Peter King, CBS News, Sanford, Florida.
Those drug-sniffing dogs are good. Near the border crossing in El Paso, dogs pointed to a load of roofing paper, tar paper, which has its own strong smell. Inside the load, nearly a ton of marijuana. The load was at the commercial cargo site. No arrests, just the seizure. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
an idea is born, but your team lives worlds apart. No problem. Welcome to GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix, the easy way to meet online and face-to-face with high-definition video. Simply launch or join a meeting with one click from any computer, share screens in real time, and edit documents together. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and enter promo code 45. GoToMeeting with HD Faces. Try it free today.
Now that spring's arrived, Lowe's wants to help you get your lawn and garden growing, which is why we're helping you save money on everything for your yard. Right now at Lowe's, 1.5 pint annuals are just 88 cents. Plus, when you purchase a Scott Snap Spreader, you'll get a Snap Pack replacement cartridge for free. Come into Lowe's for these and other great values to help you get growing this spring. Lowe's, never stop improving. Offers valid through 4/9/12. See store for details.
Hey, let's give them something to talk about. Hey, we'll talk about the Dodgers that are going to play the Padres this afternoon, 3:30 pregame, 4:05 game time.
And now, here's Bill Benica.
Hey, the world's gone crazy, and we get to witness and talk about it because, I mean, it has gone completely woo-hoo. All right. We're going to have Pandora Nash-Carter in here in a little while, and she's going to be talking about there's a big concert coming up at the Botanical Gardens, plus there's a collect color Easter egg things coming on April 7th, followed by free hot dogs. There's Art Eco in the garden, and there's something going on all the time out there. But anyway, this is a new thing we're going to talk about. Peggy Cotin, my respects to you, madam, but I have to tell you, if in case you didn't see it, PETA, people for the other two names, is taking the California Milk Advisory to court, making them prove that California cows are truly happy. That's not a joke. That's the true story right there. They have to prove that the cows in California are happy. The next lawsuit will be that the Jack in the Box guy, Jack, will have to prove that that's his real head.
With Bill Benica, the Friends and Neighbors Network.
Charter Internet is keen on giving you more. Not a little more, a big more, as in more speed, which means more streaming hoops, more celebrity scoops, more posts, more boasts, more webcam, more Cousin Pam. By delivering more speed, we make the web more fun. Moreover, it doesn't cost more. To learn more or sign up today, visit charter.com/freefast. Increase for Express and Plus customers only. Service not available in all areas. Other restrictions may apply. Your favorite word is not rutabaga, shimmy, or Xanadu. No, your favorite word is free because it makes other words better, like guilt-free, termite-free, and faster internet speeds for free. That's what Charter customers just got, allowing them to feel footloose and fancy-free as they download more freely. Don't have Charter Internet? Feel free to sign up at charter.com/freefast. Increase for Express and Plus customers only. Service not available in all areas. Other restrictions may apply.
Country Oaks Care Center, caring for the loved ones that you care about. Country Oaks, owned and operated by John and Sharon Henning. They're friends of mine, really nice friends. And that niceness shows at their 57-bed skilled nursing facility at 830 East Chapel in Santa Maria. Country Oaks specializes in short-term rehabilitation and long-term care. Country Oaks accepts Medicare, Medi-Cal, HMOs, and private insurance and will do the paperwork for you. They offer physical, occupational, speech, enteral, and IV therapies, including a fully equipped therapy room. At Country Oaks Care Center, your loved ones will find a warm and caring staff and a home-like atmosphere. All activities are geared to individual needs and desires, as well as nutritious meals and that extra ounce of caring and a cup of slow-roasted coffee. From Rotary to their annual float participation in the Santa Maria Elks Rodeo Parade, The Hennings are involved in their community. At 830 East Chapel in Santa Maria, Country Oaks Care Center, caring for the loved ones that you care about.
What do you think? Are California cows happy? I think they're happy. I look at them. I'm near some. I look at them, and they just look back, you know. I think they're okay. I think they're doing fine. You don't see them run around and panic, do you? I think everything's fine, Will. Right, let's do our Today in History, our flashback, our highlight in history on April 15th in 1862 during the Civil War. The month-long siege of Yorktown began in Virginia because the Union commander, Major General George B. McClellan, overestimated the enemy's strength and insisted on preparations for a full-scale assault. The Confederate defenders were finally able to slip away and head toward Williamsburg. On this date in 1887 in Tuscumbia, Alabama, Ann Sullivan achieved a breakthrough as her blind and deaf pupil, Helen Keller, learned the meaning of the word water as spelled out in the manual alphabet. In 1976, reclusive billionaire Howard Hughes died in Houston at the age of 70. 1987, Fox Broadcasting Company made its premier TV debut by airing the premier episodes of Married with Children and The Tracy Ullman Show three times each, and they should have just stuck with that. Our birthdays today, movie producer Roger Corman is 86, former Secretary of State Colin Powell is 75, rock musician Mike McCready from Pearl Jam is 46, and singer Paul Cole is 44 today. Let's say happy birthday to them and happy birthday to you if it's yours on this sunny but kind of chilly day.
Happy birthday to you.
How does a little shoe store like Mike's and the Slow Promenade seem so big? They start by taking assortment to a new level. Not just any assortment, but the brands people really want and the styles people really love. Mike, Annie, Shu Shun, and their entire crew at Mike's really know their stuff, and they're happy to make it work for you. The right people, the right place, all the time. You'll like Mike's and find what you're looking for in men's and women's shoes. Every time you hear this ad, you're just one pair away from the perfect number of shoes. Mike's Shoes at Southside Promenade.
CalCoastNews.com on KYNS, your news station.
CalCoastNews.com. I'm having my mixer that does my music thing is just absolutely misbehaving today, so I'm going to have to reload this, and we'll get to it. Hope you had a nice day off yesterday, Bill. I did. Thanks. We had the Little Rascals over, and the Little Rascals are right there now playing games, I hope, or doing something worthwhile. Hello, Little Rascals. Hi. Casey and Helen, hey, thanks for coming over. Poor Casey was sick. Little guy was sick, barfing and whatnot, you know. But we gave him the treatment. Nancy knows how to fix these things. You know, she put funny bat wings or something around his neck, and he got better. All right, so let's now get to this because it's time. The IRS has handed Abel Maldonado a tax bill for nearly $500,000 bones. Maldonado, who is challenging two other Republicans in the primary to face Representative Lois Capps, owes $470,000, according to the federal government, a claim disputed by the former state lawmaker and lieutenant governor. Part of the argument is over a building deduction. Maldonado has said he plans to work with the tax collecting agency and also pick up part of the tab for his upcoming campaign. IRS said the difference is due to errors in calculating complex deductions, but Maldonado believes he paid the correct amount of taxes, but he said if the assessment proves to be correct, he'll pay up. I believe we paid the correct amount, et cetera. Maldonado spokesman Brandon Geiske, is that how you say his name? I have no idea. Said the story originated on the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee's website, suggesting a political intent. People normally don't have a political intent to go to prison. it's not really worth the point you could make, usually. Okay. You never know sometimes. All right. Other things going on. They caught that slow prowler dude who was wandering around in the area around South Street and King Court. San Francisco arrested the prowler after residents said they spotted him looking in their bedroom window at 2 a.m. on Monday. While on the phone with police dispatcher, the resident of a home in the area of South Street and King Court followed the alleged prowler. During a police interrogation, Leroy Howell of San Luis Obispo admitted that he's also the responsible for four incidents where people in the neighborhood reported a prowler, either in their home, crawling through a window, or peering into someone's window that occurred during the past few weeks, police said. All right, other things going on. I should mention, it's also the same area where many years ago Krebs kidnapped and killed a young lady that lived in the neighborhood. All right. This is interesting because now we have another. We got two stories, one on top of another about this, but we'll get to the other one later. A Colorado law passed in 2010 intended to encourage online retailers to collect sales tax has been struck down by a federal judge. U.S. District Judge Robert Blackburn's decision permanently blocks implementation of the law, which already had been put on hold by an earlier judicial ruling. Such a law would impose an undue burden on interstate commerce, Blackburn wrote. Courts have always concurred that online retailers cannot be forced to collect taxes from customers, and forcing a reporting requirement on out-of-state retailers will be, by definition, discriminatory against the out-of-state retailers by imposing unique burdens on those retailers, Blackburn ruled. It's all quite weird, to tell you the truth. I've said that many times. Okay, another thing going on. Well, we got two huge stories, really, that are going on, and I'll just kind of hit on them briefly, but you can go to calcoastnews.com and look at them further. Members of the Paso Robles Police Officers Association discussed ongoing contract negotiations for several hours the night of November 9th, unaware at least one city spy sat amongst them. While the resulting inside information is in hand, city officials later were able to manipulate and significantly affect the eventual pact, according to police union members. Those particular actions would interest prosecutors if a complaint were to be received from officers, San Luis Obispo County Chief Deputy District Attorney Jared Grand said on Tuesday. Evidence of the existence of a double agent among police union ranks was contained in an email provided by the city to Calcoast News following a Public Records Act request. City Manager Jim App wrote to then-Chief of Police Lisa Solomon at 8:37 a.m. the morning after the union meeting, "Any word from your mole about last night's meeting?" No reply from Solomon to this specific message was included among the emails provided to Calcoast News. Another big story. Another big story going on that Calcoast News is responsible for. The San Luis Obispo County prosecutor who decided not to prosecute firefighter Ryan Mason, who was accused of savagely beating a man in June, has been removed from the case. Deputy District Attorney Karen Gray told the victim, Jory Brigham, that she didn't think she could win the case, referring to the victim's appearance as renegade and Mason's as upstanding. However, it goes on to say further on down the road that in February 2011, Mason was playing poker with several neighbors when one joked to Mason that firefighters spend their days bringing cats down from trees. Sources say Mason became angry and attempted to crawl across the table at the card player. Allegedly took three men to restrain Mason, who has since been barred from the game. The following Gray's announcement that she planned to drop the case, several friends of Brigham's, including Jeremy Limick, a local web designer, began organizing a signature-gathering campaign to help pressure the district attorney's office into prosecuting Mason. "With a case as extreme as this, you just think justice would take its course," Limick said. "We just won justice. Trial is currently set to begin on April 23rd. That's what's going on calcoastnews.com as of the up-to-the-minute moment. And then you can go there any time of day or night. You go to calcoastnews.com, find out where the breaking stories are. If you go to Talk is Cheap in the upper right-hand corner, you can stream KYNS live anytime, day or night.
Calcoastnews.com on KYNS, your news station.
Okay, I'm really nervous about what's going to happen when I try to play music today because this thing is just, you know, it's just laughing at me. They making evil faces. Speaking of evil faces, they're on the front page of the paper. They're way inside. The T-Rex have a fuzzy cousin. They've come across some kind of thing that had feathers on it, you know, and was weird looking. And, you know, fuzzy is not what you think about when you think of a dinosaur, correct? But now you might have to think differently. All right, here's the other thing, too. I don't know where we're going with this, but I'm going to say it, and then you can decide. There's people, Mary J. Blige, Burger King's doing a new chicken thingy, and I saw Mary J. Blige did an ad, and she sang a song about the chicken. And then Jay Leno was in an ad I saw this morning. There's a number of different ads for this new chicken product. It's a chicken wrap, I guess. And so Jay Leno was sitting in one of his prized cars, a Corvette, and he's, like, driving through the restaurant instead of actually going through the drive-up window. Anyway, so it's cute. But the point is this. So this hue and cry went up loud and loud and louder and louder because Mary J. Blige was the first one, who's a black singer, as you may know. And so they said, well, that's just stereotyping blacks. You know, I have for I don't know how many years, but even up till recently when they had a throwdown, I was watching the Food Network, and Bobby Flay, a white male, took on a black woman in the South, and she just whooped his butt when it came to fried chicken. The fact that, you know, that's what slaves got to eat for the most part when they got to have any meat at all was chicken. It wasn't even favored by the plantation owners. They preferred beef and pork. And so the blacks in our society learned, or not, they weren't in our society then, but black slaves learned how to fix chicken lots of different ways that tasted good. I just consider it a hereditary thing that they passed on, and that I've always thought a compliment that black people can cook. You know, like if I said, what do I want to say, Hispanic people are really good at cooking Hispanic food. Have you ever noticed that? They really are. It's not like Taco Bell. They can really do it well. I'm serious about that. And so then the black people being able to do chicken well is logical. It's just plain logical. If you opened up two chicken places and one was run by a black person, another was run by the white person next door, I'd go to the black one in a minute. I'd say their chicken has to be better. They've been doing it for years and years and years and years and years and years. So for people to get all over Mary J. Blige and say, well, that's stereotypical, there is a Popeye commercial I've seen on TV. You know, we have the only Popeye we have is a cartoon around here, but there's a Popeye chicken place, and the manager of the restaurant's a black woman. Nobody raised hell over Popeye's chicken. So I don't get it. It's like you go out of your way to find something to raise heck about. You just, you know, and I'm offering that explanation, even though it shouldn't be offered at all. If they get popular people and popular singers and popular personalities, be it Jay Leno, Mary J. Blige, I forget who the other ones are, and say, here, do an ad for us, you know, we're watching an ad. It's not stereotypical. I don't know why that has to be applied to it. You know, it's like it's politicizing this thing in Florida. I don't know why it has to be politicized. It doesn't. I guess it's been done, but it doesn't have to be done at all. And we as people don't have to pay any attention to the politicizing of it. We can just say, okay, we want to find out what happened in this case, and that's what we want to find out. It doesn't need anything else. We don't have to beat it up with anything. And a Burger King commercial with Mary J. Blige. I mean, I haven't seen the commercial yet. They've pulled it, saying, well, there was some technical work there. Just some bunk. I'd love to see her in the commercial. I love Mary J. Blige's voice. I think she's a great entertainer. I'm all for it. She would make me buy, I'm honest to God, she would make me buy chicken before Jay Leno would make me buy chicken. Sorry. That's it. I'm just telling you. I was trying to explain why, too. Now, if you want to call me and say, Bill, you can't talk about stuff like that. 786-2578, that's 786-2578, or 1-866-937-1340. It's kind of like Irish stew. You would think somebody Irish would probably be the best at making it, would you not? It could be that somebody else is, but you would think. Yeah, maybe? Italian food, usually made best, it's called Italian food because Italians introduced us to it, and you would think that Italians would be really good at it, which apparently they are, because the most famous Italian restaurants are owned and run by Italian people. So I don't understand why we're getting all crazy all the time. By the way, we get crazy sometimes, and that's what it is. Well, as you may have heard in Santa Monica, I bless the kids' hearts, you know, these students, although somebody has a letter the other day that doesn't bless them at all. But, you know, they feel like they're getting beat up and everything, and they are, you know. But actually they're not, because what happened is we had lots of dough in California at one time, and we were able to pay for higher education, you know, subsidize higher education to a greater extent. And that's just gone away. It doesn't exist. You can't generate that money out of thin air, you know. So that's the name of that tune. And I'm sorry that you have to pay more money than, let's say, I did when I went to school. Plus, it was on the GI Bill. But lots of things have changed for lots of people in lots of ways. And it's more expensive for everybody in lots of ways. And so it's kind of like, really, I don't know why you're bothering to protest this. Nobody's going to change their mind because you get pepper sprayed. Yeah, they may fire a chancellor again or something. They may say, okay, well, we didn't need to fire the chancellor. They pepper sprayed the kids the wrong way. I understand that. But that doesn't really accomplish anything. You notice the last time this happened, the pepper spraying incident, the price of a ticket to college didn't go down. Now, here again, I'm going to stick my neck out here. I know I am. It's okay. I'm not afraid. It's like the Occupy movement. If you really ask somebody the Occupy movement what has been accomplished, you know, what great thing has been accomplished, what thing for as far as taxes go, as far as the middle class or the middle lower class, whatever we are now, what has benefited from that? What has caused more pain to the one percenters? Because this happened, Occupy Wall Street happened. Nothing. Some people have made, some bankers in Wall Street have made less money. Some traders have made less money, but that's just because they traded badly. Other people have made more money. There's one guy who made $2 billion last year. This was in the middle of the Occupy movement. $2 billion. I don't know. Sometimes I just think we're fighting the wrong fights. We're fighting fights that can't be won. They can't. There's too much machinery behind the situation, and you're not going to overcome it by, you know, having people camp out. The world's not going to pay enough attention to it. They're just not. Cuesta cuts deep to narrow their budget gap. Trustees voted 4-0 to eliminate 26 positions, lay off 16 employees, and approve furloughs. And how sad that is. But once again, you know, Quest is in deep and dire straits. And I said before, just the other day, and it got there between interim presidents. And it's a shame that that happened. It just happened. It should happen. I know what that can be like because I recommended somebody to work for somebody else, and they said, don't recommend anybody because you just never know if you don't know them really well, which I know them okay, but not really well. And so they said, just tell them to go fill out an application. They hired this person, which I was delighted to hear, and then two days later she called and she said, I've bitten off more than I can chew. I can't do this job for you. Whew. I'd rather she hadn't started. Anyway, I was forgiven. You know, they said, I told you, just have them fill out an application. It got nothing to do with you. Because there's nice people out there that understand stuff. All right, other things going on. Other things that are happening right there. Okay, and Dodger baseball is in fact, I had a nightmare about this, you know, that I was saying that, you know, the season hadn't actually started because they slipped a freeway series in on me when I least expected it. And so that season actually officially begins today with the Padres. So that's all right. I got some great take me out to the ball games. I did some research on that. All right, other things that are going on. This is not surprising. The final autopsy on Whitney Houston revealed bad things, but I think that's what we expected. The cocaine in the room and cocaine in her system, and you know she finally drugged herself to death like so many others have before, you know. And it's not like it's a new thing. Lots of people have done it. She did it to herself. Well. All right. I'm going to take a break right now because I want to go to the shoe mash and find out what's going on. And then we're going to, I think, I'm not, I've, I'm at this point, Pandora and I were going to get together yesterday, and then I had to call her and say, well, you know what, the Dodgers are on, and they told me I had the day off. So I said, okay. So I said today, but I think I said 1:30 or 12:30, but I'm not sure that I said that. So we'll see when she walks through the door, she walks through the door.
Coming April 26th, 8 p.m. at Shumash Casino Resort, Benesse, in Fuego. Hailed as the Latin River Dance, Benesse's In Fuego is an unprecedented and spectacular journey of music and dance. From rumba flamenco to salsa to tango, witness the exotic and romantic explosion of world rhythms. The awe-inspiring Latin phenomenon that captured the hearts of millions. Benesse returns with a brand new show. Direct from their appearance on Dancing with the Stars and PBS comes the Emmy Award-winning world music and dance experience that shatters all the rules. The show that celebrates music, love, and life. Benesse in Fuego. Tickets are on sale now at Club Shumash, ShumashCasino.com, or call 1-800-585-3737.
You're creative. You've got bright, innovative ideas, but it seems like the radio group you work for isn't paying attention, right?
Why not take that talent where it can be appreciated and put to good and profitable use? The Radio Central Coast family of stations are looking for you, a broadcast media consultant who loves their job because no day is ever the same. Radio Central Coast is the leader in helping local businesses succeed. And we're looking for you, a seasoned radio media consultant ready to help these local businesses grow. We offer a fantastic salary. That's right, a salary, not a cutthroat commission plan. And best of all, a fun, creative environment where our clients are the stars. The only thing we want are radio professionals ready to take their career to the next level. If this sounds like you, send an email to Aaron at RadioCentralCoast.com or give him a call at 786-2570. This is it. Fun, excitement, creative, the career you've always dreamed of. Make the change and join the professionals at Radio Central Coast.
I was afraid of that. Okay. It's just sitting there. I don't feel like playing, Bill. It's really nice music I really wanted to share with you today. Okay, maybe now. I told you I had something nice for you right there. You're at Bill Talkin' Sheep, Friends and Neighbors Network on 1340 KYNS, San Luis Obispo, your Friends and Neighbors Network. I thank you for joining me today. My news and opinion, that's what we're listening to. But we can listen to your opinion, too, at 786-2578 or 1-866-937-1340. Or you can look up those phone numbers on calcosnews.com. Click Talk is Cheap. Let's talk about Spencer's Fresh Market. Easter's here, Easter's here. So they have some Eastery stuff, you know, and they have ham, of course. They got a cured 81 or Gusto spiral sliced ham. They have boneless pork roast. They don't forget the pork roast. Don't they forget their Harris Ranch rib roast, you know, and they can either season it for you or you can do it yourself. And that makes a marvelous Easter meal. Now, here's a thing that's going on at Spencer's. I'm going to tell you this. This is interesting because I was trying to convince my wife that what we should do is we should have fish and chips. We'll make our own fish and chips, you know. And so then, Here comes the Spencer's flyer. Fresh arrow tooth flounder, $2.99 a pound. Fresh red snapper, $5.99 a pound. Fresh USA steelhead fillets, $6.99 a pound. And fresh halibut fillets, just $14.99 a pound. I say the word just in $14.99, but I say that. Okay, and then they have shrimpies, all kinds of shrimpies, either cooked or uncooked. And they have those. And then just everything you need, you know, your veggies and stuff and everything you want for your Easter grocery meals. They have Sara Lee Classic Wheat or Honey Rolls on sale for $2.49. Bear Creek Soup for $3.49. S&W Selected Beans, 79 cents. They have Kukawana Cheese. I think I'm saying that right, for $2.99. And they have grated cheese for $1.99 in 5 ounce packages. And they even have Berea oven ready lasagna. Let's say you're one of those people who goes, you know what? I want to have something good to eat, but I'm just not going to knock myself out to have it. You know what I mean? Lasagna already made for you. So they got all that. They got great stuff going on in the deli department. They have great things going on all over the darn place. They have all the wonderful produce. They got tons and tons of that. Let me tell you what's going on in the deli these days. Cream potato or macaroni salad, $1.49 a pound. That's excellent. Cranberry orange relish, just $2.99 a pound, which would be fun with a meal. They have hummus for $2.99, and they have boar's head horseradish cheddar cheese, which is so tasty you can't believe it. And then Spencer's own apple or blue cheese sausage in case you're going to do some barbecuing. They have beef back ribs on sale. They've got pork ribs on sale, baby back ribs. Got the whole shebang at Spencer's for your Easter in San Luis Obispo, Morro Bay, Atascadero, and Arroyo Grande. Spencer's, where freshness is local. I mean, I'm not funning you on that. Okay, apparently 12:30 wasn't the time, from what I can see. Probably can tell right now that wasn't the time we were going to do it. Yeah, that's it. We got somebody on the phone. We're going to say hello. Hello? 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 Everything's right. Everything's set right. It should be working. I don't know why it's not.
What's that?
Hello, are you there?
Yeah. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
Hey, you hit on the most important, reason why there'll never be an answer for anything. You talked about the Occupy and about how, all the money that's being spent to try to, for businesses and stuff like that that have to deal with the occupiers in their area and the loss of incomes and so forth, right?
It's true.
Okay, it is true. So, what about the fact that my grandfather and his grandfather struggled in order to become a union of strong capacity so that they could do their jobs on a level that was pretty human and stuff. And so they fought very hard.
Is this Steve?
They fought very hard,
yes.
And it was a huge income problem for them. But they stood by their laurels. So which one do you want? Do you want laurels or do you want income for people, who just happen to be, in the way of something that is bigger than they are?
All right. Is this Atascadero Steve, so I know?
Huh?
Is this Atascadero Steve?
No.
Who is this?
Mark.
Hi, Mark.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So what do I want?
So I'm not asking you what you want.
Oh.
I'm just telling you why it doesn't matter what anybody wants. Because the thing is that you can't get in the way of progress. No matter how you look at it, you're going to hurt somebody. So it's going to be up to the movement to do what it has to do. And it's like we're just going to be, whichever side of it you fall on, you'll either be fodder or not. I mean, it's like they say when they come knocking at your door, are you going to pull your gun or not pull your gun? And that's all there is to it. There's no other solution. I mean, there's no even reason to talk about it because there's people that believe like you do, and there's people that believe in justice for all.
Whoa. Is that it? That's it? I don't get to talk about it? We don't have to discuss it? There's people like me, and there's people that believe in justice for all. Boy, oh boy. Wow. That's not what I said. That's not what I was implying. And forming a union is a whole lot different than forming a what? We already have a representative democracy, a republic. We already have a representative republic. And how's that working for us? Not that good. For a lot of people, it's not working that good. So the Occupy movement says, well, wait, we have to make this work better. But there's no way to organize an Occupy movement, in my opinion, to make it work better. Don't you think I would love to see them succeed? Don't you think that I think that $2 billion for somebody to make is disgusting? Do you not think that I think that the fact that we have for-profit health care in this country is disgusting? I believe it's absolutely disgusting. It is. It's just disgusting. It takes the human being and says, heck with you. We don't care. We'll bankrupt you before you die. I mean, it's foolishness. It's absolutely insane. But if I say to you, I don't think the Occupy movement was the vehicle to do it, I don't think it was the vehicle to do it. It hasn't done it. Now, if they somehow organize in a way And the only way to really organize something that's going to work in this kind of a situation, because you're not a union, you know, you're not trying to deal with an industry, you're trying to deal with an entire country and a tax system. So I think you have to end up with enough sway on people that vote to vote somebody in or out or whatever the case may be that says, this is what I'll try to do for you as a country. This is what I'll try to do. I'll try to make this more fair. The people in power, I mean, look at this presidential race and how much money is going to be spent on this presidential race. Are you serious? Are you serious? It's more money than most people are going to see in a lifetime. 10 times more people than people are going to see in a lifetime just for one candidate. 20 times, 50 times, 100 times. And you have to combat that. You have to go to that guy and say, you know what? And I don't care if it's President Obama or I don't care if it's Mitt Romney. You have to go to them and say, I want you to change this tax system so it's fair to everybody. No. Do you think the super PAC money comes from little guys? Not really. Some. You know, some people $100 donations here and there. But mostly not. It comes from huge backing, huge money people. So how do you fight the huge money people? I mean, how do you fight them so it's effective? How do you get someone to pass legislation that works for you and I? Not a matter of am I down on the Occupy thing. I'm just saying I don't think the Occupy thing was the right vehicle because it hasn't worked yet. But maybe it'll work. Let's talk to somebody else on the phone. Hello?
Hey, this is Steve.
Hi, Steve.
But not from a desk here.
I know. It's fine.
Anyway, yeah, I agree that money in politics is the problem. The Citizens United Act was the problem that we're seeing right now with these huge super PACs and the money that's being spent. And it's going to be a fight to the death.
And whether we like it or not, the Supreme Court, you know, it'd be wonderful if the Supreme Court was somehow apolitical. They were just justices that sat there blindly and said, as justice is supposed to be, and said, we're going to decide these things not from a political standpoint. But unfortunately, right. We don't have that. And so
for years, the Republicans have been screaming about, you know, activist judges on the left and all this kind of good stuff.
But
what we have is a Supreme Court that has been an activist court since, over the years, especially, starting in 2000 with the way they ruled on the decision in Florida for the elections and now with the Citizens United decision and several other things that happened over the years. It really is a problem. But, you know, I think the 99 I can't think of the.
Well, let's say the 99%ers, we'll call them it.
The occupied. That was a true grassroots type of.
It was.
Movement.
It was
people that people wanted to get out there and just say, you know what, we got a problem. We need to pay attention to it. You know, we're not the vehicle by which, you know, this change needs to be made, but, you know, we need to wake up Wall Street. We need to wake up the politicians. We need to wake up the people in this country to say, you know, we have to, address this. We have to do something about
this. But here's what's wrong, I think, Steve.
And pay attention to it, because we're not getting this information in the news and the media and some of the politicians that are currently, responsible for doing something about it. And that's where they did something good. What happened is that they, it just got really bent out of shape, and then as soon as it, it started getting ugly, that's when it just became cannon fodder for the people that to shoot it down.
But here's two other things I see, I think. I think, if you take Occupy Wall Street, which was the first movement of all, boy, talk about going into the enemy camp and saying, well, this is how we feel about how much money you make. I told you I feel the same way. I think it's disgusting that a single trader can make $2 billion in a year and watch other people that make next to nothing at what they do, even though they work very hard. I think that's really craziness. But the problem is we already had a decision by the Supreme Court that sort of set the stage for you're screwed if you think you can pull this off. And that was when they said corporations are people. When that decision was made. And the only thing is, the only people that think that that's sane are the people that are filthy rich. They say, that makes sense. But to the rest of us, it's like, what the heck were you thinking when you made that decision? And then what will be the result of that? And in this election, we're starting to see what the result of that's going to be. This will just be the first of many that we're going to see just insane, disgusting wads of money thrown at a presidential election, to where, once again, the people that don't vote, and people criticize the people that don't vote for national elections, and yet how you can understand why somebody says, I mean, I'll vote, I'll do it because I just do it. But if somebody says to me, you know, I don't feel like I want to vote, I don't feel like I have anything to do with who's going to be the president of the United States, I would have to honestly say to them, you don't. You don't have anything to do with who the president of the United States is going to be. And then you have the debacle they had in Florida, of course, and now they're screwed up again. The election thing's all screwed up again in Florida. And I don't see, if it hasn't been fixed in 8 years, you're going to tell me it's going to be fixed in the next 8 months? I doubt it. I mean, it's like you had 8 years to fix your voting system in Florida. You had 8 years to fix it, and you didn't fix it, and it's still screwed up. And now what's going to happen 8 months from now when we have a presidential election?
And they've actually made it worse by all the, you know, voter registration laws and so forth, mm-hmm. which are, you know, not designed to keep fraud from happening. They're designed specifically to keep voters that are not in their interest away from the polling booths. That's all it is about. You know, they are not about wanting to make sure everybody has a vote. They want to make sure that only the people that are going to vote in their favor is able to vote.
I think we need to have some way of communicating with each other, and maybe people don't like my idea, they want a different idea, but I still am for a flat tax. I think the flat tax is the fairest possible way to tax people. I can, and would there be exemptions from it? Of course. There are people in abject poverty that can't pay for their food now. You know, I don't resent them for it. I say, okay, fine, I'm doing better than that, you know, so I pay a flat tax. I mean, I don't understand why either that or something else besides this graduated tax that's all screwed up and has so many loopholes that people don't pay anything. That doesn't do it. What good does that do?
The loopholes have been a process by which the people that have all the money have made it so that they can, you know, put all those loopholes in there. They've actually, you know, they get the contributions by the rich people. And, you know, through all the PACs and through other avenues, campaign contributions and so forth, those loopholes have been bought and paid for by the contributions to the to Congress.
Absolutely.
And to senators. So that's how they have taken their progressive tax situation and made it work for them by establishing all these loopholes.
Well, so we need to have a united voice.
A progressive tax is the best way to do that because the people at the top are getting the most and getting the best benefit out of the commons, use of the commons. They are getting the, you know, the roads that they need to get their products to business. They're getting the education that keeps, you know, good employees, you know, available to them to hire and so forth. So they are reaping the best benefits. So that's what the benefit of a progressive tax is. They are reaping the most benefit of the, you know, of the value of the commons, and that's why they are responsible for paying, you know, a higher percentage of tax for what they've earned. They have a higher disposable ratio, and so therefore they can afford those taxes. The times when we have had the most prosperity in this country has been when the tax base for the ultra-rich has been the highest, especially, for example, during the Eisenhower and the Kennedy periods, where, you know, at one point in the Eisenhower, it was like 90%. Yeah, so these are, you know, every time we have dropped taxes, we have seen a decline in productivity and investment.
Somebody came up with this idiotic idea that there's some validity to a trickle-down theory of which there's no validity whatsoever that anyone can point to and say, here, I'll show you how it works.
Right. You see what happened in 2000 when, or 2001, when the first thing he did was he signed the tax reduction in 2000. You know, the average person got, what, $300, and the upper 1% got, you know, millions of dollars in tax credits. And our economy, you know, it went into a steep increase in the deficit and our debt, and eventually it wound into the recession that we had in 2008. It all led to that. It was both of those major tax cuts that were all aimed at the wealthiest people of this country.
Here's what's weird, though. Here's a thing that happened, and part of you wants to go, hurrah, they finally did something to stop themselves from this gluttony that they have for money, and they passed the Stock Act, and so it takes out insider trading for Congress. But
that's been ugly for a long time.
It has been ugly, but again, I would say to you that the people that realize that it was not in their best interest to continue that are the people that were making the most by doing it, and being criticized for it, and having the public understand what was going on and say this is no good.
It's been a dirty little secret.
The secret came out. Yeah, but I think that. I know as political parties, people are trying to say, okay, we're trying to promote this idea of what should happen. I understand platforms and I understand all that stuff, Steve. But the when it comes to things like a tax, like income taxes, I think there has to be a national hue and cry. Everybody who's a Republican isn't rich, you know what I'm saying? I mean, there are plenty of poor Republicans or middle class or whatever you want to call them. It's just as there are Democrats. There's lots of rich Democrats and lots of everything. But if those of us, I know the 99%, but if those of us that are at the bottom 50% of the ladder, spoke out in a voice and said this has to change, I would think
the chromosomes.
Yeah, I would think eventually it would change.
Now, I think whether you're Democrat or Republican, I think it's in your chromosomes to a certain degree. I think, there are people that have a certain ideology for a conservative point of view, and there are certain people that have a propensity to a more liberal point of view. And I think it is ingrained in their natural DNA. But the unfortunate part is that with the Republican side of things is that whole process has been subverted to the point where the ones that are really controlling the issue are at the top and they're making all the big bucks and they're basically feeding everybody else at the bottom that this is what we're doing in your interest, but in reality it's against their own best interest.
Well, here's the thing: I don't know if I'm going to buy the DNA thing, but obviously what we become as voting adults is, and that's only 18 years old now, which is not even hardly become an adult anyway. But what we become as we mature is we become a combination of all the factors in our lives that made a difference, that made an impression, that did whatever it did, that says, okay, this is where I'm going to end up. This is what I'm going to say now about how I feel. You have one viewpoint. Other people, Rush Limbaugh has a viewpoint. Benica has a nonpartisan viewpoint. I somehow said the only way that it makes sense is find me somebody with a brain, and I think that they're smart enough to run for an office in this country. And if I think they're smart enough and I think they're honest enough, I'll say, okay, that's my guy or gal or whatever they may be. That's how I feel. I don't have a predisposed notion of, I feel real liberal and I feel real conservative. Even though oddly, we all kind of we cross.
Did you see the president's speech a few days ago?
No, I didn't get it. I wasn't able to see it.
You can Google it if you go to C-SPAN.
Okay.
You can bring it up and you watch it. It's about an hour long. I recommend it highly. Here is a man who is in the office of the president of the United States. He is smart, he's calm, he knows exactly what he's talking about, and he has the ability to articulate it, and he has a clear vision about where his point of view is and where this country needs to be going and who he wants to protect and serve in this country. And it's about the people of the United States, and he wants to make sure that those people are protected, the ones that do the middle class, the people that do all the living and dying in this country, and not the ones that are, taking the cream off the top. Watch, Google it. It's easy to do. Just you go to the speech with the, you can probably find it pretty easy in terms of either date or whatever, but it's an hour long, and it's a very, very good example of who this man is and what he has the ability to articulate and the vision he has for this country.
All right, let me.
And I have a tremendous amount of respect for him.
All right, let me thank you for your call. I do have to take a break because I got to get a spot in, but I thank you for the conversation and we'll do her again.
All right, thank you.
Bye. Thanks, Steve. Back with more after this.
Karen Scott Audiology, now at her new location, 3220 South Higuera, Suite 320 in San Luis Obispo next to the DMV. Dr. Karen Scott has been serving the Central Coast and the community for over 30 years. What's important to remember is that hearing loss can occur at any age, from newborns to your grandparents. Let's stop the stigma of having to wear hearing aids. With today's technology, new sleek hearing aids are available. Karen Scott carries Starkey, Phonic, Widex, just to name a few. They have the knowledge and the experience to help you with all your hearing aid needs. They also offer clinical audiology as well as industrial screenings. Call her for your free consultation. Call 541-1790. When was the last time you had yours or your child's hearing checked? How about that teen that listens to that loud music or that's not doing so well in school? They could be suffering from hearing loss. Karen Scott Audiology. Call 541-1790 because hearing really matters.
It really does. And being a double hearing aid wearer myself, you know, it's certainly helped. It's helped my marriage. I mean that. Okay? My poor wife, you know, I was making her deaf trying to hear stuff, radios and whatnot. She said, yo, are you crazy? So anyhow, so you get that straightened out. Karen Scott, what a great lady she is, too. She got all kinds of people in that office that do different things. I got people that specialize in children and stuff, and they have all different specialties and things, and they just know what's going on. All right, you're Bill Talker, Chief Friends and Neighbors Network. Thanks for joining me today. Where are we going with this next? I know what I want to talk about, because we have other amazing stuff going on in our news, and it's like, holy cow. This was a story I want to tell you about that I didn't really understand, but okay. Too much happiness can make you gullible, selfish, and less successful. This is according to a guy. This was at Yale, and he's a psychiatrist or whatever, and he did all this psychology, and he did this research and everything, and he says, you know, you need to have it. It needs to be tempered. All your happiness needs to be tempered with some sorrow or grief or whatever the case may be. Otherwise, what do they say? You're going to become selfish and not nice person and all that. And I'd have to see more about this study, to tell you the truth. Too much happiness can make you gullible, selfish, and less successful. I don't know. They said they took data from 16,000 people around the world and discovered that those who early in their lives reported the highest life satisfaction years later paid lower income than those who felt slightly less merry when young. What's more, they dropped out of school earlier. So they show that when we are sad, we think in a more sympathetic manner. Sad people are attentive to details and externally oriented, while happy people tend to make snap judgments that may reflect racial or sex stereotyping. Now, here's an interesting thing. You'd have to know what he means by happy people, because it's not really spelled out. I mean, if you're like a blathering idiot that just sits around grinning all the time, you know, then obviously you have no thoughts about anything but yourself, you know. They had Nadia Silliman on today on the Today Show. And I just look at that woman, and well, a lot of people are just mad at her. You know, now she's collecting welfare, and duh, she's got 14 kids and no skills. What do you think she's going to do? I see a woman who is either mentally or emotionally or both not well. You know, I don't have bad feelings for the woman. I don't have good feelings for the woman. I just look at a woman that is totally goofed up, and had a doctor, unfortunately, that said, well, if you want to be a blathering idiot, I'll jump in the pool with you. What a shame. Just what a shame. You know, people with alcohol that are codependent. You know what I mean? Oh, okay. You want to have 8 kids at one time? And you already have 6? All right, I can do that. I want you to have 8 kids at one time. You know, it's just ridiculous. It's just kind of ridiculous to me. But nothing I would get mad at the woman for. I think the woman needs to. What are you going to do? If somebody was sympathetic and said, you know, I don't want to pay $2,000 a month for her kids, would say, I'm going to teach her a job skill. You know, but the babysitting would cost. You know, she'd have to make about $100,000 a year just to pay for the babysitting. So the whole thing is just nuts. You know? But maybe, and I said this the other day, maybe some kind, caring person that wants a lot of kids would say, okay, I'll take that woman on if she'll have me. Who knows? Yeah. But that's about the only way I see her way out of the muck she's in, because it's a mess. 14 kids. And she didn't, and she had really no way except to be, except to be sensationalized, which made her some money. She had no ultimate way to support, one child, without going on welfare. Where she'd be on welfare, she had one kid. She doesn't have any marketable skills. She has none. So she went to England and posed and has semi-nude or whatever. I mean, that's the best she could do. And again, does that show somebody that's got their mind right? In the midst of having 14 children responsible? I think not.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. President Obama has signed what's called the Jobs Act for Jumpstart Our Business Startups, proposed by Republicans as a way of reducing government red tape and also supported by Democrats.
This bill represents exactly the kind of bipartisan action we should be taking in Washington to help our economy.
The president signed it but took no questions from reporters. There is cautious optimism about the economy, with reports the non-farm private sector produced about 200,000 jobs last month, but that is down from 227,000 in February, House Republican leader Eric Cantor.
We're all for good economic news, and over the last several months I've been very encouraged by the private sector job growth. But let's not forget, we are nowhere near out of the woods.
Some economists say the jobs picture appears likely to weaken in the coming months. Others say the economy is reaching escape velocity and will surely continue to expand. Jill Schlesinger at CBSMoneyWatch.com.
We've created an average of 244,000 new jobs each month over the last 3 months. And if we could sustain that, that's great. The problem is that we've sort of been here before. We've seen employment numbers be good for a while, but then they slide again. I think economists are hopeful that this is a more sustainable trend because the underpinnings of the whole economy are improving.
The March jobs report comes out tomorrow. Wall Street, the Dow down 14, NASDAQ up 12. Rebels in Syria say the UN's being played by President Assad, whose forces have increased violence since agreeing to a ceasefire.
While Kofi Annan laid out his peace plan to the General Assembly, there were no indications Assad was backing down, Security Council President Ambassador Susan Rice.
Yesterday, in fact, as in previous days, the violence has intensified.
And while the Security Council indicated it would consider further steps if necessary, Secretary General Ban Ki-moon pleaded for cooperation.
I appeal to President Assad, his government, and all concerned to show vision and leadership and to do what is right for the Syrian people.
But hope is fading that Assad is hearing those appeals. Cammie McCormick, CBS News, Washington.
New Orleans Saints suspended head coach Sean Payton has had his meeting with NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell to argue for a shorter suspension in the pay-for-pain scandal. No word yet on the outcome. Couple of towns been for sale if you have a few extra bucks. Beaufort, Wyoming, between Cheyenne and Laramie, has sold for $900,000 today. 10 acres with a home and more, says realtor Pam McKissick.
There's a convenience store, gas pumps. There's an office that was once an old outbuilding. There's an antenna tower.
Prey, Montana is just 5 acres, but it is in spectacular Paradise Valley with a commercial building, a trailer court, and a post office. It'll go for well over $1 million. Location, location. Ferdinand Porsche has died. He's credited with designing the 911 Porsches. That delightful noise would be a Carrera taking a deep breath. He was 76. This is CBS News.
There are many debt relief plans and scams out there. So if you find yourself with $10,000 or more in credit card debt and you just want the facts about legitimate debt relief solutions available to you, then call American Credit Card Solutions for a free informational kit that will tell you about your options in simple, easy-to-understand terminology. The kit is free, the shipping is free, and there is absolutely no sales pitch, just the facts, sent directly to you in the mail. This free informational kit can be mailed to you today so you can examine all the debt relief options available in the comfort of your home with no one pressuring you to make a quick decision. Call 800-912-1515 and ask for your free kit. That's 800-912-1515. This is a first-come, first-serve offer, and kits are limited. So call right now for your free debt informational kit. 800-912-1515. That's 800-912-1515.
Tainted animal feed can lead to tainted foods.
Arsenic,
caffeine, and the main ingredients in Tylenol, Benadryl, and Prozac, all were discovered in a common animal feed additive made from chicken feathers in a study in environmental science and technology. Most surprising, Johns Hopkins researcher Keith Nachman says,
we found fluoroquinolones in 6 out of 10 samples that were sourced in America and both of the samples from China.
These are antibiotics banned by the FDA for use in poultry in 2005. Nachman says the discovery suggests they're still being used. Barry Bagnetto, CBS News, Washington.
The ghost ship from Hokkaido, Japan, has floated across the Pacific since the tsunami, nearing Alaska's coast. The Coast Guard's planning to use it for target practice in deep water. But there's a new wrinkle. A Canadian fishing vessel has claimed salvage rights so they can tow it to shore and take anything of value from it. The Coast Guard says if they don't hook it before it threatens shipping lanes, it's going down. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
One thing I've learned on my journey to help save people money on car insurance is that folks across the country like convenience. And what could be more convenient than visiting Geico.com? We can manage your policy, pay your bill online, just about anything you need. And it's open 24/7. It's kind of like popping into the ultimate convenience store. Except we save people money. And we don't have beef jerky.
For a free rate quote, visit Geico.com to see how much you could save. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Now that spring's arrived, Lowe's wants to help you get your lawn and garden growing, which is why we're helping you save money on everything for your yard. Right now at Lowe's, 1.5 pint annuals are just 88 cents. Plus, when you purchase a Scott Snap Spreader, you'll get a Snap Pack replacement cartridge for free. Come into Lowe's for these and other great values to help you get growing this spring. Lowe's, never stop improving. Offers valid through 4/9/12. See store for details.
Captain Carter Nash is aboard, mates, and we're gonna talk to her about, you know, things in the garden, as opposed to things at sea. But I was really disappointed when Pandora said to me, "I want to come and talk about this." I was great, and she said, "You know, I got my official license and everything." I said, "How cool! Just frame that puppy, that big thing." You know, I figured it was some big thing with nauticals and.
They used to be huge, and they were very ornate and lovely.
That's what I was imagining.
It's not what I got. I got a little thing that looks like a passport, and it's not even pretty. But you know what? It's official, so that's all that counts.
That's it. How many tons again is a big boat?
100 tons.
100 tons. That's a big. Look up a 100-ton ship on the internet on Google. Just go to Google. Yeah, right.
But what it does is it gets me on the really big ones.
But here's the point. If you're on the little sailboat in front of it, you hope that you know how to stop it.
Well, I would have the right of way, except there is an unofficial rule called the rule of tonnage. So they win.
The big boat wins.
Well.
Theoretically.
No, theoretically, I would have the right of way. I would be the stand-on vessel.
Bigger.
Yes.
Oh,
no, he would be bigger if he's behind me. In a little bitty sailboat and there's this monster guy behind me.
Oh, you got to move.
No, I'm the stand-on vessel, but I would sure be nervous because that means I have to stay put and he has to go around me. But he's bigger and moving a whole lot faster.
Wow, that doesn't sound good. I know because I was in the Gulf of Mexico on a Navy ship where we had no idea what we were doing. You know, we didn't have the right charts or something. We were just guessing. And they had these huge super tankers going by you, heading right at you. I mean, it was amazing because they have just routes that go certain directions. If they're going this way, they have a route they go. And if they're going this way, they have a route they go. Well, unfortunately, if you wander onto one of those routes, you're in deep doo-doo.
Well, in theory, the shipping lanes have been in the charts for years and years and years.
You'd have to be in the Navy to understand.
You don't have charts?
Oh, yeah. Quartermaster has some charts. I don't think we had any of the Gulf of Mexico was a problem. So, anyway, okay. I don't know what it was, because I know we ended up on head-on courses a whole bunch of times. So maybe we're on the right. We were just in the wrong lane.
Yeah, maybe. Okay. Yeah, you were in the left lane instead of the right lane.
Let me tell you how scary that is. When you see a ship about a mile away from you that's the largest thing you've ever seen in your life all lit up, and you're not moving, it's not moving. So the story was very cute because I didn't know how to really do all this, so I opened all the intercoms on the whole ship and yelled, "Captain, get your ass up to the bridge." So the guy comes up and he gives me this dirty look, and I go, "Look." And he says, "Oh, my God, right full rudder." And then once we got around this ship, he took the officer of the deck and took him away as far back at the back of the bridge as he could, which isn't very far in a small ship, and just reamed him and said, are you completely out of your mind? Do you know how to say right rudder, left rudder? I mean, he's just chewing this guy out. So then he starts back down the ladder to his quarters, and he looks at me and goes, Captain, get your ass to the bridge? I go, I was nervous. I was really nervous.
He goes,
I'll forgive you this time. I said, okay, thank you. All right, that's my story there.
Sailing across to Santa Cruz Island one time, and we got hit by fog, and we couldn't even see the bow of the boat, and it was only a 40-foot boat, so you can imagine how thick it was. And so I had everybody on deck, and we were looking, you know, what can you see when you have a visibility of about 40 feet? And just as we hit the shipping lanes, somebody decided, well, maybe we should get rid of the fog. It was gone, and which is a good thing because probably a half a mile away was a monster ship.
You know what? There's an interesting thing. We're going to get to the thing in hand here in just a sec. But you know what an interesting thing is? And there's no set rule for it. And the DMV doesn't have a set rule for it. And the CHP doesn't have a set rule for it. And so I don't know what you do. So you're going along, you're heading for the valley, and you hit the Thule fog, you know, and you can't see the front of your car. And so everybody's not sure what to do. Some people say, well, I guess I'll pull over. And then they worry that they're going to pull over, and then some truck is going to say, I better pull over and run into them. It's like, well, if I go kind of slow, am I still safe if I'm in the slow part? It's mind-boggling because, oddly, California vehicle code has no, this is what you do when you get in a fog that you can't see in except to slow down.
Well, out in the ocean, the rule, the coal regulation, is that you can only go as fast as the conditions will allow. Now, that doesn't preclude people being crazy and going too fast, or they're on a schedule and they have to be in Singapore at a certain day and they can't slow down. So they're relying on equipment and people reading the right information off the equipment.
But see, you're right. Actually, they do say you have to go as safe as possible, the speed that is safe as possible. In that kind of fog, moving at all is not safe whatsoever.
Absolutely right.
So theoretically, you should get over to the side. I have done that. You know, I used to work up in Santa Margarita. Every now and then, the grade would be so fogged in, you couldn't see squat.
Well, the difference between land and sea is that at land, you have to give audio fog signals. And by the signal, you can tell whether the boat is underway but not making way. In other words, engines are going but stopped because it's not safe. So the various fog signals will tell you, assuming that they're doing any signals at all, what the conditions are and where this person is. Because it's hard without radar to know exactly because it's sound does strange things in fog.
Right. But, of course, if you're doing a 100-tonner, you're going to have radar out the wazoo and fathometers and everything. Of course, I say that, and we look at what's happened to our cruise ship industry lately. Here we go. You guys got any of that equipment? Do you have any of that equipment at all? You know what you're talking. All right, let's get on to other things. We're talking about all kinds of things that are going on in the San Luis Obispo Gardens, and I call it that. That's not the right name for it.
Botanical Gardens.
Botanical Gardens. And we have so much going on. Let's do, before we get to our great concert that's going to come up, let's talk about the kids. They're going to do Easter eggs on April 7th, which is next Saturday.
Well, you better talk about it because I have information for the 12th.
Oh, okay. The 23rd Annual Easter Egg Hunt, Costume Contest, Egg Color Contest, the whole thing. Oh, this is the South Bay thing. I'm sorry. This is the
South Bay
Community
Center. I wrote that press release.
I was going to say.
That's the Kiwanis Club.
The Kiwanis Club.
It's going to be great.
Okay.
They do a great job, and there's hundreds and hundreds of kids out there. They break it into age groups. They make it very fair so that the big kids don't take the little kids' eggs away. There's a costume contest. There's an egg decorating contest. The Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts are out there with petting zoos. It's just great. And the Kiwanis do a fabulous job.
And I know you're saying to yourself, God, there's going to be a lot of people. It's going to be hard to park. And
no.
I'm going to have to park down the road or somewhere. I don't care. You're not going to have to park that far away and do it. And even if you don't have your own children.
Go watch.
I've gone. It is absolutely a hoot. You get these little guys, you know, that are 2-3 years old and trying to find eggs and do things, and it just cracks you up.
And if you have a camera, take it. It's one of those sort of Americana events. It's like the Cayucas 4th of July parade. I mean, it's funky, but it's America 1950 from Omaha, Nebraska kind of thing.
Because I think 23 years ago, I think I saw Norman Rockwell there.
Well, you may have.
Okay, that's why. It's that kind of event. All right, then we have and other things going on. We have this our Art Eco in the garden, and this is the Botanical Gardens, and this is continuing and through Thursday, May 24th, and you had the big grand Yahoo thing, and now we're have a displays of wonderful art.
Have you been out? Have you seen it?
Not yet, no.
Oh, okay. Well, you better get out there. Here's what this is all about. We're about the ecology. We're about Mediterranean plants and saving water and that sort of thing. But we try to do things that will intrigue people to come out and learn more about plants, but we'll do it by doing cooking classes or events. In this particular show, it's the eighth year, and it's materials made out of reclaimed and natural and recycled materials. So whether it's Mike McNutt and his junk iron that he very creatively welds, and what you see when you see one of Mike's pieces is you say, look at that gorgeous bird. And then you went, and then you would look at it and you go, well, wait. The tail feathers are a pitchfork.
Right.
And the eyeballs are various nuts and bolts. But you see the bird and the beauty of the bird before you ever see what the parts are. And Jack Bisik has done, if it was in my budget, I would grab it in a minute, a beautiful 11-foot angel. And it's made with the centerpiece is steel, almost as if it was extruded. And I don't know if you can do that with steel, but you can't see any welds on it. It's absolutely gorgeous. And then the wings are corrugated metal that have been put together so artfully that when you look at the rivets, you go, it's a pattern in itself. And then the top is blown glass. It's 11 feet, and it's absolutely spectacular.
I think where you live, you should put a beacon in the top of it, and then you are the lighthouse for the Baywood Navy right there.
Oh, we could do that.
You don't have that one.
That's the postcard. Look at the one on the far right, and we'll do a little self-promotion.
Holy cow.
That's pretty wild. So some of the pieces are from recycled clay, and I have a piece out there that's to say that it's bright and colorful is sort of...
bright and colorful, all right.
It's bright and colorful, but there's all kinds of interesting pieces. There's a multiple-piece stacking form that could be a fountain done by Renee... I'm going to forget her last name, of course, because you have the piece of paper.
I have the piece of paper. Wait a minute. I'll tell you. It's Renee. I got the piece of paper. Renee Bewley.
And her work is great. And then Jack Bisik, who is renowned as a fabulous sign maker, and I don't mean like painting a sign that says open now, but the beautiful corporate signs, the ones made out of metals as well as granite and that sort of thing. He has a number of pieces out there. Most of them are made this year with high-density urethane, and they're just absolutely gorgeous. There's pieces out there that when you really look at them, you realize that there's an owl out there that's made with tiny little skulls. So talk about reclaiming materials. There's inexpensive pieces and there's very expensive pieces. And
what's made out of skulls? What is it?
Turn the card over and you describe what you're seeing. It's an owl made with reclaimed paper.
Well, I have it right here on this one.
Yep, there you go. So it's made with paper and
it
little skulls.
It is skulls.
And all kinds
it's little
of tiny things.
Birdie skulls and gopher skulls. I'm not sure. Are they all the same kind of skull? I can't tell. No, I think they're different.
But the point is that the art is open and available. It's 7 days a week. We're open 9 to 5. There's no charge to come out and take a look. There's a number of pieces in the garden itself, and then some of the more fragile, smaller pieces are up in the Oak Glen Pavilion. And all of it's for sale. The proceeds benefit the garden, and we want people to come out and take a look at it because
How cool.
What you can do with reclaimed and recycled materials is pretty outrageous.
I'm not being rude about this, but you know, you're kind of a Picassoist. Is that the right term? And so is this a self-portrait or just
no.
It's somebody else?
No.
Okay, it's just somebody. I don't want to be rude about it, but if this was
I'd
want people to know.
Great bright colors.
Okay, that's great bright colors. Okay, so that's what's going on in the garden, and that's through May 24th. Then we have coming up on Sunday, April 15th, at the Botanical Garden, and everything's almost sold out. So if you want to get in on these people, now, I have to admit, these people that you come up with, I haven't heard of, and that's not because they're not well known. It's because I live in a cave, and so Blame Sally. Is that how'd you come across Blame Sally?
Blame Sally. One of them actually came from San Luis Obispo County, and it's a group of four women who got together a little over a decade ago up in the Bay Area. And what I really like about them is they're not 16. And what I mean by that is they're not talking about love and terrible things with no experience. These are people who have some life behind them and some life experiences, and that's what they write about. I'm just guessing, looking at their photographs, they're probably in their mid-50s. They're extremely popular in the Bay Area. In fact, they're called the Bay Area Phenomena. They are songwriters. They each individually play instruments. They have incredible musical backgrounds, and we are, again, feeling very fortunate that we were able to get them. And you mentioned that we're almost sold out. Let me tell you how almost sold out we are. We may make it tomorrow with a couple of tickets left, but beyond that, we will be sold out. We get good people, and we only have a venue that holds 170 guests, so it's actually kind of easy to sell out with the kind of talent we've been able to get.
And here's the thing. Pandora was saving me a couple of tickets, and I can't go that weekend. So it's through my generosity of returning them. and through her generosity of offering them, that you could have a chance to go see Blaine Selly. I had to take some credit somewhere. Here's the deal. We're going to play a tune from Blaine Selly, and I'll tell you the name of it. It is, oh, great, Bill, Pajaros Sin Alas. Does uh-huh. that sound right?
That
did I do okay
good,
with
yeah.
that? All right, let's give it a go.
Fly when I go, wizard of the risen sky. I'm a fish that doesn't swim when I sink. Am I out or am I in? I'm a rose without a garden and a brush without an artist. Almost done before I started, almost done before I started. I'm a bird that doesn't fly when I go, wizard of the risen sky. A fish that doesn't swim when I sink. Am I out or am I in? I'm a king without a nation. I'm a house with no foundation. I'm a flashy imitation. I'm a flashy imitation. I'm a bird that doesn't fly when I go. Is it or there is a sky?
All right, so there we go. Blaine Selly. How cool is that? And so they have a CD out too, by the way.
They have a whole bunch of them out, but that one, when it was released, hit number 38 on Billboard's charts.
So they call this, and I thought this was appropriate, folk rock, which I think is what it sounds like. And so there are four ladies, and let me show you how bad I'm at guessing things. Boy, I'm bad. 30s, 40s. How old are they? 20s, I can't tell.
No, I'm thinking more like 50s.
Oh, good.
Which is why
good.
Their music has some poignancy to it. I mean, their lyrics are, I mean, they're interesting. And it's not a 16-year-old talking about love lost. It's, you know, it's a 50-year-old who has been through it a couple times.
This is really funny because I was listening to the Jackson 5 driving in today. And talk about an 8-year-old talking about love lost. It makes no sense that the Jacksons were that popular in their own way. But they had great music.
Well, Blame Sally's had the NPR Song of the Day. They've been on tour all over this country and in Europe. They had, in 2001, they had over 10,000 readers voting and saying that they were the best in the group, along with Alison Krauss and Lucinda Williams. So they have incredible accomplishments. And if people are interested, let me give the website again. We are going to sell this out probably by tomorrow. So if you're interested, call right away at 541-1400, extension 301. Or better yet, jump on the web and go to www.slobg.org and you can do PayPal right there. But not only for this concert, but we have upcoming concerts too. June 3rd, we have a man from the Blues Hall of Fame named Michael Hawkeye Miller, and he said, can I bring a couple of friends along? Because he was going to do a solo show for us. And I said, sure, we don't have any more budget. He said, that's okay, I'll just bring them. So he's bringing a fiddle player named Phil Salazar, who is one of the top fiddle players in the state, and a mandolin guitar player, songwriter by the name of Tom Corbett, who is just amazing. And then a female vocalist out of L.A. is coming by the name of Sarah Jane Nelson. And so that's the concert that's going to be on June 3rd, which is a Sunday. We have singer-songwriters from the San Diego area named Chris Stewart and Janet Beasley coming on August 26th. What's interesting about Chris, he wrote some songs, I guess they were considered extremely good, because in 1 year alone, he won Best Song in Country and Best Song in Gospel. And his wife,
As a singer or writer?
Writer.
As a writer. Yeah.
And his wife, Janet Beasley, was just on the front cover of one of the major, I guess it was the Banjo magazine. And if you're in the music business, I guess that's a big deal. And then you'll remember the New Age era in the 80s, 90s, and 2000s. Tingstad and Rumble are coming in October. So we've got a great lineup, but we will sell them all out. So we're suggesting to people, if you like good music that isn't here in this county, certainly very often, sign up right away.
There you go. Lots of great things going on. So once again, we have it in Los Osos. At the community center, we have the April 7th, the kids are getting eggs and whatnot, and then they have hot dogs for the kids. And then can you buy a hot dog and make a donation? Buy a hot dog if you're an adult?
I think you can.
Okay, good. That's
Hey, we've got more stuff for kids, too. On April 14th, out at the Botanical Garden, we have a kids event that is herbal balms, where they're going to teach kids, you know, how to make things that are soothing and healing using natural materials. Every single month we have something that's dedicated to kids, always educational, trying to connect them to the natural environment. It's always on the Saturday that we do the same thing for adults, different topic, same time, so you can take your kids can go off and learn about
stuff.
The fact that the shoe mass used to suck on bay laurel leaves to get rid of headaches, and the parents can go learn how to protect their homes from fire by doing fire safe gardens. So that happens every month. May the 12th, we're going to have a huge plant sale. Good time to get drought-tolerant plants, Mediterranean plants, unusual plants that are all grown locally. And my favorite that's coming up besides the Blame Sally concert is on April 12th will be a Greek cooking class from 1 to 3. All the information's on the website. People can just pick and choose as they wish.
And I try to print out as much as I can because they're very, very efficient at making sure I get information. So I'll probably print that out and try to make sure you know where everything is. Now, you've been in the midst of controversy in your past. I know you have. And because I recognize your name, I just want to ask how you feel. And if you don't want to answer, say, Bill, I'm not getting into that. I don't want to know. Because you saw, what did the shoe mash suck on? What kind of plant?
It's a bay laurel leaf.
Okay, do we still have those?
Yes.
We got. And that's a native plant, right?
Yes.
Okay, we're big on native plants, I know. But let me ask you something. Speaking of, so, how do you feel about over in Sweet Springs? How do you feel about that project?
I told somebody recently, I don't have a horse in that race. Mm-hmm. I think that the Audubon people have done a thorough analysis of that property. There are trees there that are natural. There's trees there that were planted in the 20s, and there's eucalyptus there. And I think that the Audubon certainly has the expertise to make good decisions. And as I said, I don't have a horse in that race.
Boy, and I'll tell you what, you stayed in the middle of that thing really well.
Holy cow. Listen, I've been in the sewer controversy for so many years. I learned a few things along the way.
I thought I could walk a fence. Holy dumpster. That was really good. Anyway, the only thing that's weird to me, I think, is that, I lived in Los Osos with you. but not with you. But you know,
same general. We lived in Los Angeles. Same general. At the same time.
But anyway, so I don't know. I just thought it was a marvelous place. It didn't have fences. It didn't have anything. It hadn't been donated to anybody, you know. And it was just a pretty place to just walk, you know, and see everything.
Sweet Springs at one time was the people who owned the property that has now just been taken over by the Audubon. At one time, the owners wanted to give it to the community to build the library there, and some of the folks in Los Osos thought that was not a good idea, so they made sure it didn't happen.
Boy, I'm glad that was next.
But if you have time, if you could play the that is really
okay,
great.
We're going to go to Blame Sally. We're going to go to Cut One, and we're going to say goodbye to Pandora, and thank you for coming in. Don't forget, you go to the website, see if you got any tickets left, because this thing's going to sell out, and it's this Sunday, April 15th.
Not this Sunday. It's the 15th.
I'm sorry. This Sunday's Easter. I think we should celebrate Easter first. Then this Sunday's next Sunday is April 15th, a week from Sunday, and so free Dozen Led Tour at 2:30. The doors open at 3:30. And the concert gets underway with Blame Sally.
And Art Eco is there at the same time, so they could come to the concert, see Art Eco, go to a tour, hear a great music.
Thank you, madam, for coming in.
Thank
is
you,
Blame Sally, and the name of the tune, is Bird in Hand.
KYNS is your news station, San Luis Obispo, and we have reworked our prime lineup to include your favorites. We would like to welcome back Randy Rhodes and Ed Schultz. We are saying goodbye to Carell and have moved Clark Howard to 8 p.m. To find out about the new lineup, visit us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/1340am. See you there.
Don't let someone throw you a curveball when choosing who to see for hearing help. There are plenty of dispensers and strange devices out there. Dr. Karen Scott, MD, Doctor of Audiology, has the years of experience, education, and can help you with the best decisions for you, your children, grandpa and grandma, and all those betwixt and between. With Dr. Karen's lineup of professionals, your experience with them will be a bases loaded, out of the park home run. Dr. Karen Scott, the LA Dodgers, and KYNS. What a fantastic lineup. Dr. Karen Scott's office is in the 3-story glass Walther building next to the DMV on South Higuera. Come in soon.
Want to improve office morale around the break room? Are you tired of hearing employees grumble about bad office coffee? There's an easy solution to this. Invite Slow Roasted Coffee's office service into your business. They're your local coffee company that features fair trade, certified, organically grown coffees roasted daily and delivered fresh to you, so you can taste the difference. For 24 years now, this locally owned and operated family business has been serving the Central Coast. Slow Roasted Coffee believes customer service really does matter, which is why they provide 24-hour customer care. Slow Roasted Coffee's office service is perfect for the workplace as well as restaurants and lodging facilities. You'll never have a bitter cup of coffee again. Consistency, freshness, and convenience is what you'll enjoy when you call Slow Roasted Coffee's office service. Call them at 528-7317. That's 528-7317. Coffee, the original energy drink.
California is number one at a lot of things. Surfing, wine. We're the state with the most millionaires, the most nonconformists, the most millionaire nonconformists. That's why Farmers, the number one insurance group in California, is proud to have been born right here. Our 4,200 agents statewide have the experience to help you tailor a plan for the unexpected.
You can't go wrong with a guy named Wright, so give Farmers agent Mike Wright a call at 541-3942.
Number one ranking based on market share of property and casualty insurers in California.
Remember, I told you we're going to have trouble playing stuff today. This was a really nice piece of music I want to share with you today. I know I clicked that for play. I clicked it. Okay, there you are. Okay, now we're ready to hear it. This is Richard Clayton. Cante Partiro. Richard Clayderman with a peony. All right, you're with Bill Talker Sheep, Friends and Neighbors Network on 1340 KYNS, your news station. And I thank you for joining me, Dan Talker Sheep. I thank Pandora for coming in. I thank Bill for calling today. I thank Steve and Mark. And you can call also at 786-2578 or 1-866-937-1340. And then we'll see if we can get the last thing to play today. I can't promise anything. Couldn't have it a nicer guy. Okay. Oh, my gosh. Let's all join the party, shall we? Sexual harassment at Cal Fire alleged. Why not? Agency denies ex-dispatcher's allegations of witnesses male dancing and undressing. Witnessing that. A woman claiming she worked at Cal Fire in San Luis Obispo County in 2008 and sued the agency alleging sexual discrimination and harassment. Paula Burton filed her lawsuit in U.S. District Court containing that her harassment included male dancing and undressing, inappropriate comments, and the telling of sexual exploits. Men. Yeah, they're men. The brain is it's located in separate areas. So anyway, so she's firing that. Cal Fire has denied each allegation, of course. But anyway, so this is, we'll see where this goes. It's gone before January, let's see. It was set for trial on January 15 before Philip Gutierrez. It will take place at the federal court in L.A. because it's a state matter. All right. Unbelievable. Now, here's the thing that's also unbelievable. Where did they just have the last big fire that had a control burn? Where did it go out of control? I can't remember. There's been so many fires. I can't. Tornadoes and things and stuff going on. By the way, our cousin in Forney, Texas, where they had, the coverage and everything. Forney isn't a big town. It's like, Morro Bay size, if that big. But they live a little bit outside of the main town area, Whatever that would mean. That'd be kind of like North Morro Bay, kind of like way out there. But anyway, the point is that the hurricane went right through the middle of the town there and did damage and terrible things. The amazing part of these tornadoes, of course, is that there was no injuries reported or serious injuries or fatalities. And there was a ton of those tornadoes. It was just amazing. All right, so let's move on, Bill. So here's the thing. They had the fire thing going. They set the thing. The control burned. It went out of control, burned all these houses. It says here, fire may be the answer to land control. Successful reduction of invasive grass may be model for future burns. Cal Fire, who, when they're not sexually harassing their employees, burned the 75 acres of grassland in June, and this was at Islay Hill, as a test to see whether the fire would be an effective way of controlling Medusa head grass. The invasive species has taken over much of the Rigetti property southeast of San Luis Obispo, which is the Rigetti property is the one where it never has made any sense to me. They got the hill there. They got a hill on Rigetti Hill. It's not as big as Islay Hill, nor is it as big as the rest of the Seven Sisters, but it's definitely a extinct volcano peak. No, you can't question it. Is that you just look and you see Islay Hill? You go out there by. And here's where you go to see. You go to the winery out there, Edna Valley Winery, and you sit there and you have yourself a little chugger. And you look and you see there's Islay Hill, there's Rigetti Hill right behind that, then there's Madonna, there's Bishop's Peak. You can see them all. But for some reason, Rigetti Hill wasn't included. I've never figured that out. Anyway, so they tested it. They said it seemed like it worked pretty good. I would say, you're probably in better shape if you have one of those and it's not near trees of any kind. There's no forest in the area. I think that would make a difference right there. I'm guessing that. I think it would. Other things happening in our mad and crazy world. Oh, my gosh. Election year puts pump prices atop the ticket, according to this perspective from Chicago Tribune. And I find that also to be very fascinating. They talk about, England and America using the United Kingdom, using their strategic reserves to try to stave off, this recession from climbing back on top of us. They're called strategic reserves because they're strategic reserves. That's why they're called that. Not strategic reserves to stave off a recession, which you probably won't accomplish anyway, but strategic reserves for the military, which I would think you'd want to hang on to. We've raided Social Security. We've raided every other darn thing in the whole wide world, Medicare. We've raided everybody. I think we should probably, because that's not going to change a whole lot. Here they go. This is what does it. This is what doesn't do it. Here's what happens. Here's what doesn't happen. Now, one of the things that is always mentioned when it comes to the petrochemical industry is the fact that there really are not that many refineries in the country. And so that's in its own way a problem. But, of course, in order to have more refineries, you'd have to depend on the oil industry to build more refineries, which they choose not to do because they can get more dough from trucking it all over, heck. So they say, okay, fine, we'll just do it this way. Okay. But then you got the investors, you know, you got what's going on with the Iran. There's all these things that are happening. But the one thing that isn't happening is you'll notice that for those that said the reason we went to Iraq was for oil, you'll notice not a drop. Or if there's a drop, it's up with part of OPEC's oil. And then you have Kuwait. We gave them their country back. We gave them their gold faucets back. We gave them the whole shebang back at our expense. We gave it back. We said, here, we'll get it back for you. And we did. And nada. We're not too good at negotiating these things going in my opinion. I got to tell you that truth. I think you'd have to say, this is what we can do for you if you do for us. But we've never done that. We just go, okay, we're going to help you out. And I think that's very noble, but dumb. Dumb. Here's an... I haven't had a chance to really look into this thing either, and I apologize for it. But here's the thing. This is a letter from George from Paso. He says, Florida, along with 20 other states, has this Stand Your Ground law. Where I am confused is just where does the law state that a neighborhood watch commander has more leeway and more latitude and more rights than a police officer? How many times have we seen a police officer shoot someone, then he or she thought that the person had shot had a weapon, and when it is shown that there was no weapon, the officer is suspended and fined and are even dismissed? Oh, I forgot. The person here who got shot was armed with a bag of Skittles and a drink. Who would not feel threatened given these circumstances? I understand this ridiculous law. If one feels threatened at home or on the street or even a bar, they're able to use deadly force to protect themselves. I thought only police officers were trained to figure out when an actual threat was there. I'm absolutely amazed that there have not been more incidents such as this at a bar where most people are drinking. Is their judgment not already impaired so as to be confused as to when they're actually being threatened? Are we back to the old Wild West? What is it? It appears so in the states that have passed this law. So I got to try to see if I can find out the nitty-gritty about this law because it's absurd. I think it's absurd. I think it's gone way too far. The NRA, I mean, the people should have the right to bear arms. I believe that. I reserve that right for myself. But holy dump truck. This person from San Luis Obispo wrote this letter. We were talking about the youth gathering on the beach in Shell Beach for this big event they had. So these were some of our local college kids that were at Shell Beach partying this weekend, and they never learned how to pack out their own trash. How disgusting that our public employees have to be dispatched to clean up after them. Maybe you should have put in a picture of the mountain of beer bottles and garbage that had to be hauled out the next day. Now, this was from Hedy, I think is how you say her name, H-E-D-Y. I have to tell you something honestly, though, because I've talked to Gary on the online. We've talked about living in Pasadena. The day after the Rose Parade, after the Rose Parade is over, you don't even know what a mess is until you've seen that. You don't. There's never been a mess until you've seen that. Now, it's like ticker tape parades in New York. Yeah. But every year, once a year, see, this is a once-a-year thing. These kids get down there to Shell Beach and screw everything up. Do I say, well, why can't you pack out your trash? Of course you do, you know. That's the natural thing about people that have manners and do the right thing. But there's so many people that don't have any of that, and they don't even have knowledge of it, the fact that they don't know it. That's the sad part. They don't know that they don't know. Their parents have never given them a clue. So in a way, it's not their fault. They don't know that they don't know. So, but just know that there are other places and other events that happen, and people leave the biggest mess you've ever seen. And you know, the Pasadena sanitation people had to clean up Colorado Boulevard and all its neighboring streets around it. And other people in the news there. Now, Richard from Napomo. And Richard is talking about Morro Bay, and it's interesting what he's talking about with Morro Bay because he's in Napomo, but that's interesting. He did some math, and all I can do, whenever we get to these math things, all I can say is I kind of have to do a disclaimer and say I'll just read what he wrote, and it may or may not be so because I don't know. I don't know. And I know there's somebody that doesn't like me say I don't know, but he doesn't know about this either. If I said how many campsites are in Morro Strand, would he know how many? No, he wouldn't. Morro Bay Mayor Bill Yates must be using fuzzy math, fuzzy politics, or both. He stated the number of campers at Morrow Strand would number 44,000 a year, which equates to 120 campers a day for every day of the year. There are only 76 sites, and it's my understanding the campground is used primarily on weekends. Using weekends and a few holidays in addition, 110 days a year, let's say, that works out to more like 8,400 campers, not 44,000 campers. He goes on to say that each camper will spend about $60 in the local economy, which he then suggests would equate to around $2.5 million. Maybe the number should be more like $500,000 at best. Does the $60 include the $35 campground fee? These are questions that need to be asked when people start throwing numbers around and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. I didn't ask it, but he did. Okay. Other things going on. Any things that happen in our world. Now, here we've just had this rule that they said that online retailers, it's an unfair burden for online retailers to try to collect taxes from all the different states, you know, because you have 50 states. Where if you're a regular retailer, you know, you're a brick-and-mortar retailer, you are operating in your state, and you say, okay, here I am, and here's the here I collect tax. So that's what they're saying. Anyway. And I said to you, I think what should happen is when somebody buys something online, and you're going to say, Bill, don't screw it up. You know, they just decided that you don't have to pay taxes. But here's the here, let's be honest about this. If you buy something online, you pay taxes to your own state. For whatever the amount would be, for whatever the tax would be. So, you know, if you, sometimes when you buy something online, they say it's from California and you pay a tax. Well, it's really fair to say, because once again, what's in the balance of this is not, is it unfair to try to collect state tax from 50 states? What's unfair, of course, is, and these people have said it over and over, the brick and mortar people have to collect taxes. So why isn't some tax levying when you do it online? So that's why I say I think that wherever you live is where you should pay the tax when you buy online. But that's just me. Anyway, when word emerged that Amazon.com was hunting for new warehouse sites, leaders in the business-friendly southern state rolled out a welcome amount of tax breaks to lure the Internet retailer. Codenamed their effort Project ASAP, South Carolina officials offered up to more than $33 million in incentives, including free land, a property tax cut, and payroll tax credits. They even agreed to loosen the area's Bible Belt moral code, repealing the decades-old Lexington County blue law so Amazon's warehouse could stay open Sunday mornings. So here's the whole thing. Internet giant still holds the leverage, but that is changing as government's funds. Well, they were seeking the funds. I think they were about daily and a dollar short with this letter, because they were seeking the or this article. They were seeking the funds, and then a federal judge said you can't ask people to collect tax from 50 states. So I think these are out of whack. But anyway, I don't know what in whack is. So I don't know what I can say about that. Okay, as Easter Sunday approaches, Wall Street lays an egg. Another one? Really? European debt flared again as worry for Wall Street and drove stocks Wednesday to their lowest in months. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 125 points. I don't know why what the article has to do with. The article doesn't have anything to do with the headline. the stock market was down. Okay, all right. So this is interesting because, you know, the expression high on the hog had to do with what portion of pork you could afford. And ham will be the centerpiece of many Easter dinners this weekend, it says, but the cost of that traditional meal, main dish, may make it harder for families to live high on the hog. Ham prices have been higher than usual for the past 2 years because the cost of pig feed has gone up, and some major pork producers spending millions to convert barns as they phase out cramped cages used to confine pregnant sows. Ham has been selling wholesale for 75 to 80 cents per pound this spring, which is in line with last year's prices, but well above the 55 cents per pound average for the previous 5 years. That's what I might have fish and chips. Right? Have a burger. Okay. Associated Press analysis shows J.P. Morgan Chase CEO Jamie Dimon. Is that how you say his name? D-I-M-O-N? Was paid $23 million last year, up 11% from the year before. So this is where I say sometimes when you say, you know, this Occupy Wall Street movement is a good thing, and, you know, it's the voice of the people is being heard. Well, it heard here. Wasn't heard by J.P. Morgan Chase. They raised the guy's salary 11%. So he got a bonus of $4.5 million and $12 million worth of stock options. He also received $143,000 for air and car travel and home security. So let's try to understand this. This guy, J.P. Morgan Chase President, made $143,000 for air and car travel and home security. So put a home security system in and air and car travel. You got $143,000. Did you make $143,000 last year? That was just an expense check. That was just an expense check. Okay, so, you know, some people have it. And oh, here's the last thing we got to tell you about because it's so like, okay. Dog Scouts of America has troops in 22 states. They've got badges and campouts, cookie drives, and troops in 22 states. The Dog Scouts of America even has a motto or two as the half-human, half-hound organization goes about the business of doing good deeds. One of the first badges for Jasper, a 3-pound collie lab mix, was disaster preparedness. I mean, you have to have that. So you got the bear badges, you got the doggy things, you know. Personhood, we're talking about. Personhood. Is that what they want? Person, something like that. I'm not sure what it is.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, oh, tomorrow's Friday. I don't know what Friday holds for me this week. I'm not sure at all. Karen, of course, lost her mom last weekend, so I'm not sure she'll be in. Jim will probably call me tomorrow. So anyway, we'll see what happens tomorrow, but it's Friday. That's a good thing, TGIF. And let's get together at noon. Until then, may all your trails be happy ones and don't believe everything you hear here because...
This is Talk is Cheap. The game is over. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Game over.
With Bill Benica.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.
Happy trails to you till we meet again.
Yeah, I know there's no music. Nobody knows it better than I. Because I'm sitting here staring at this thing that refuses to move. That's all I know. All right, here we go. Click play. And then hopefully it would play, you would think. All right, it's queued up. It's ready to go. And then I click play. It just got bright. Which doesn't mean anything as far as I know. Hi, you're with Bill. Still. Until 2 o'clock. Thank you.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. New Orleans Saints head coach Sean Payton has met with NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell to plead his case for a shorter suspension. After the meeting, Payton had no comment, and the commissioner has not made any announcements yet. Well, now there's a video that could not have helped Payton's suspension appeal in the pay for pain scandal. WWL's Dave Cohen with the details.
In the recording posted to the website the United States of Football, you hear a man that filmmaker Sean Pamphilon says is former Saints defensive coordinator Greg Williams, purportedly telling his players he'll pay them to hit 49ers quarterback Alex Smith in the chin and telling them to hit San Francisco running back Frank Gore in the head.
We want his head sideways.
It comes as Saints officials appeal punishments for a bounty program the NFL says paid defenders to hurt opponents. Dave Cohen for CBS News, New Orleans.
President Obama has signed the Jobs Act aimed at making it easier for businesses to grow and to go public.
Because of this bill, startups and small business will now have access to a big new pool of potential investors, namely the American people.
House Republican leader Eric Cantor.
If we're growing jobs, private sector jobs at a couple hundred thousand a month, that's good. We need to do more.
That's referring to the latest report showing non-farm private sector jobs went up about 200,000 in March, though that number was down about 12% from the month before. Good weather made a difference, according to retail analysts in shopping. Ken Perkins at Retail Metrics.
The consumer was quite resilient during the month. We had a number of retailers post very strong numbers, beating expectations.
Only a handful of retailers report monthly figures, but they were up about 4%. On Wall Street, the Dow lost 14 points. NASDAQ gained 12. Oil, a little more than $103 a barrel. Augusta National is a men's-only private golf club, which is making a bit of a media bubble this week.
I'm Dan Revive. On the issue of let's...